I just wanted to clarify about, like, in essence, these four, because I got a little bit bewildered in what was said there. I didn't understand it too.
Means the point is that you have the field itself.
Yeah.
Right? So the field itself includes everything. So it includes, it's not just the senses, it'll include the mind, it'll include the entities themselves, you know, the ego, all the different things. So the definitions of what they are, if you want to listen, because the question is on the senses. So we just define what is the sense, that's Sankarshan, because it's the definition. How the sense is related to the sense object, that will be Sankarshan. I mean, the first one I said Prajumna or Sankarshan?
You said Sankarshan.
Yeah. So I'm just, in other words, because this is all the field, so it's all Sankarshan. That the technique of how the sense and the sense object interact with each other, you know, that's also Sankarshan. Right? But the desire to operate that sense in the field, that's Prajumna. And the sense functions by intelligence, because it means the sense means it has, intelligence means you discriminate between one thing and another. So the sense has to be able to, is able to discriminate between, you know, what it is that you're desiring and what it is that you're not. So that means the intelligence is functioning. Yeah, so it's Prajumna. So Prajumna is therefore
the... Aniruddha. That would be Aniruddha.
No, that's Prajumna.
The sense... When the senses are functioning by intelligence?
Yeah, it means, in other words, how do you know it's hot or it's cold? That's because of intelligence. You can discriminate. Now that you want it to be hot, therefore that's the motivating, that's Aniruddha. You know, but that it's hot or cold, that's Prajumna. That you want to operate them, that's Prajumna. That you have to take your finger and touch it to the object to be able to tell if it's hot or cold, that technique is Sankarshan. You know, I mean, as not that you're doing it, but I'm saying that that is the way it works. That is the technique.
Right.
You know, the theory of it. Mm-hmm. That you do it, that's Vasudev.
And Aniruddha?
Aniruddha means is that the need. Because Prajumna is not a need. Prajumna is a desire. You know, we all throw desire and need together, but it's actually different. Desire is like, it's interesting. You know,
so then Prajumna, we're looking at Sambandha, and Aniruddha, we're looking at Prayojana.
Yeah. In other words, Sankarshan and Prajumna are Sambandha. So Sankarshan is the field. You know, the field and the relationships of everything in the field and the purposes of everything in the field and the techniques of interacting anything in the field. So in other words, that's why Sambandha Jnana is the biggest of all the bodies. Mm-hmm. But the desire that I want to operate the entities within the field, that's Prajumna. Because if it's just Sankarshan, it's just theory. It's just, yes, okay, there's a seat there and there's a board in the back and there's, you know, the seat sitting on the bricks, and therefore, if the blanket doesn't sit on the bricks, then it won't be supported. Mm-hmm. You know, and like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all Sankarshan. That you would want to, make that or sit on that or do something, interact with it. That's Prajumna.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That would be nice. You know, in other words, Prajumna is more as that would be nice. That attraction is that would be nice. I would like that. You know, but Aniruddha is when I have to have that or I have to do that. You know, just like you, let's say you're window shopping and you see something, and so the first thing is going to be Sankarshan. Okay, what is it? How does it relate to me? Does it have any connection? And then when you point out the connection and all that, then you go, okay, you know, that's there. Now Prajumna is that would be nice, I would like to have that. But you could go, yeah, but it's, you know, this or that, or walk off, or, oh, there's not enough money, or there's no time, or, oh, I have, you know, I already have something else that'll do that, or, you know, like, there's a long list of things that, even though the desire is there, you can move on from it. Mm. But when it's like, I have to have that, I need that, then you'll walk into the store and buy it. right? Then Vasudeva will happen. That's why I said thinking, feeling, and willing. Abhideva, yeah. Because he's the Lila avatar. You have Sankarshan. Sankarshan is Mahavishnu. Prajumna is Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Aniruddha is Kirudaksha Vishnu. And Vasudeva is the Lila avatars. You know, it means the avatars that come and perform the activities, whatever it will be.
Aniruddha is Kirudaksha?
Yeah. Because he's in the heart, he's the goal, mm-hmm. he's the perfection, he's the ultimate. So it means your Prayojana then has those aspects of the need for it and actually the attainment of it. You know what I'm saying? So everything has its these dual aspects. Mm. You know, so it's like the sambandha will mean the field itself, but also the desire to operate. Because the field is just theory. It's just intellectual. But the desire means is then there's that element of the mind. You know, it becomes activated. Because unless the mind is involved, nothing happens. Mm. Nothing happens in theory. Mm. That's why it's like your philosophers and the theologians don't do anything. The people that do things are ones with desires. So, because they have no desire, they don't do any activity. So that's good. That's something to learn in that way. But the other thing is that it's only with desire something happens. So if you don't desire Krishna consciousness or desire, then you're not going to do anything either. Mm. You know, you're not going to chant unless that desire is there, that need is there. Mm. But otherwise, you know, chanting is the best thing to do, and the bhakti is the best process, and that I'm sure there's a lot of people who know that. But don't do it, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking in terms of what Maharaj was saying a few classes ago, and I thought about it before also, when he was talking about macrocosm and microcosm. Uh-huh. And I was thinking in terms of also in terms of I6, Chaitanya Charamrita, where Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining that these personalities are actually, they see themselves as servants of Krishna.
In the Chaturvyuha.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, well, you know, on a microcosm platform, maybe I could make friends with them and have a lot better, you know, deal with the mind and intelligence and all that. But then I'm trying to work out in relation to that. I can understand this now in terms of the theory of it, but in terms of the practicality of praying to them as personalities who can help me in my spiritual life, how do I sort of like clearly see them? Do I see Vasudeva as consciousness? Do I see Prajumna as intelligence and senses? I mean, when it boils down to the essence in terms of a prayer, how would I see them?
Yeah, I mean, it means everything has its levels. So basically, I mean, depending on what it is your prayer will be based at that.
So it would have
directed.
To be like a separate thing in relation to what you just said.
Means it's just like Aniruddha is the mind, so if my mind, so by his grace, then the mind can be always absorbed in Krishna.
That's the kind of thing I'm looking at.
Yeah, so Prajumna is by his grace, then the senses can be engaged in the service of the Lord of the senses. Mm. You know that Sankarshan is that I will always, you know, try to situate myself properly in devotional activities and associations so that, you know, may I always have, you know, you hear, may I always have good association, I have, you know, Ramachandra Sangye Magye Narottama, mm-hmm. that's Sankarshan. Mm-hmm. Like that. Vasudeva, may all my activities be engaged in your service, you know. So, body, mind, word. So, the body will be Sankarshan, the mind will be Aniruddha, and the words will be Prajumna, like that. And so
that
body, mind, and words
altogether
engaged, that's Vasudeva.
Uh-huh.
You understand? So when Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha are there, then engagement happens. That's why it's said that when the purity is there, so when that purity of purpose is there, then the activity of Krishna consciousness will happen.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, a long time ago, when I asked you if there was any service I could do for you, you told me to, the service was to hear. But I have a desire to wash pots or something.
Yeah, great. So well, you see, because the thing is it's natural. Is that when so much, it's a cycle. I was going to mention it at the end, but it didn't happen this time. How do you say? Tadvidi pradipatena padiprashnena seva, yeah. That if there's interest, then there'll be submissive inquiry. If there's no interest, you don't ask nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't ask at all. Mm-hmm. Then, once you've asked, you've gotten something, then you apply that. That's the seva.
Mm-hmm.
From the seva, it purifies the heart. You know, because purity then will create more desire to hear. So mm-hmm. their pariprashna will then increase.
Mm-hmm.
That will then enhance the pariprashna, pranipata, will enhance the pariprashna. Then, naturally, then, when you have knowledge, because that's through hearing, then you have to apply it, manana. So that means practical activities, practical application done with that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that will then, so they just keep enhancing each other.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is no pranipata, then you start with service. Mm-hmm. Because it will purify the heart, and as the heart becomes pure, then this desire will come up. That's why it's so important. I wanted to say it here before because all the ma's were here. Is that this idea that education should not, it means you're losing valuable education time by wasting it doing menial service when you could be doing more academics. It means you don't actually understand the process of knowledge.
Isn't that the way you digest it?
That's yeah, that's the point. You digest it there. Then once it's digested, then you're ready to take more. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, if you've been given it and you don't practically, you don't digest. So if you don't digest, you don't get hungry again. So it's probably one of the biggest mistakes, I would say, of practical. I mean, a couple of presidents do like that, but they're not thinking of knowledge. They're thinking of getting, you know, purifying, getting situated in Krishna consciousness and that. So effect is there, is that they understand that their faith in Krishna increases, but they're not thinking in the way of knowledge as such, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that means I personally, I haven't really met any other educators or anything, or parents, or anyone engaged in the educational process that understands this point. Because their thing is if the time that you were spend washing pots, you could hire someone to do that, which you could technically. They could be doing some other classes. But the problem is they'll learn more classes, but if they don't use it, then it'll never become practical.
But also they don't have a basic tool to work with, and that is that the purpose of doing this is to become Krishna's servant.
Yeah.
So that service mood is not being developed.
Yeah. So all these three are all connected.
Mm.
You know, so it's just, so that's the important thing, or at least is brought out here, is that when the activity is done, you become purified, then you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So then that means that you'll want to be engaged in Krishna Katha,
mm-hmm.
like that. So that's the element there of purification or purity is more in relationship to devotional activities than necessarily religious or, moral or judicial
mm-hmm.
aspects. It means those will be the mediums that will be used. But it's not actually, they are not a goal. They can be used as tools, they can be used as, where you judge something by...
Like a standard setter.
Yeah, standard setter, and also just something that you can see if progress is being made, uh-huh. observable progress.
Milestone.
Yeah, milestones. You can use it as milestones. Is that okay? Before I was attached to, you know, every woman on the planet, and now I finally got it down to my wife, you know. And then from there, then we take it that, you know, it's actually Krishna that is the attractive and desirable, you know, person to interact with. So you can take that as a milestone, but to just say, yes, I'm so advanced because I'm only attached to my wife and not every other woman on the planet. That's nice, but there are people who are born with that piety anyway. They're coming from families where there would be no other consideration. So, but it doesn't mean that they're any close. They are closer to Krishna in that their Shankarshan position is closer to Krishna because they're following the Vedic things are more pure. Prabhupada said, like the Indians, they're very close to Krishna with their back to him, while the Westerners are very far from Krishna facing him. You know, means our Western devotees. Mm-hmm. You know, because when it comes to piety, this, that, we're not necessarily what you call the front line of. So, yeah. Yeah, so the whole thing that we're interested in is part of our process of sadhana bhakti, religion and morality, in the senses. You know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha are very much part of our sadhana process, but they themselves are in no way goals. But, like you said, milestones are there going towards the goal of Krishna consciousness. But if it's not seen that way, then they become stumbling blocks. Because you see is that the other half of the example you gave, the yogic Brahmins themselves, they couldn't serve Krishna because they couldn't break the ritual, they couldn't give away the bhoga meant for the ritual, they couldn't do anything that was seen to be not proper according to the religious principles, because they were working on the religion for them meant the yogic itself.
And the result.
Yeah.
They wanted a material result.
Yeah. But it wasn't that yajna is to please Vishnu, you know, or you may be pleasing him and then you'll get the result you want. Mm. So that became an obstacle for them. And even after the wives surrendered, they could have at that time run out. You know, Krishna didn't like zip off. He's not like trying to get away before they have an opportunity. Mm-hmm. They could have at that time seen. And then they themselves, yes, are fools. And, you know, even our wives who are, you know, understood this, why didn't we, and we're the great Brahmins, and they could have surrendered, but they didn't. They just said that they're so fortunate because they could see like this, and they still couldn't see like that. Mm-hmm. And it ends there. You don't hear of any reformation of those Brahmins, devotional reformation, or at any time later, nothing. Mm-hmm. That's the only time you actually see interaction. You hear the Brahmins in the morning when Krishna gets up, the mantras are chanted, the yajnas are happening, so Krishna likes that. But the element that they ever surrendered, you never hear of it.
The reason I raised the washerman was, like, in relation to the Brahmin's wives, is that, to me, it was so striking, the difference between what you were saying the other day about the difference between Buddha Yoga and Buddha Yoga and Krishna Kirtan. So, you know, like, the Brahmin's wives, they were, you know, doing their vanic, you know, their duties and everything, but they're also very absorbed in Shravan and Kirtan. Mm. Whereas the washerman, he was going through doing everything proper because he wanted to see God. Mm-hmm. You know, for births and births, he didn't ever heard about Krishna. He never chanted about Krishna. So when he met him, there's Vishnu's basically. So when he met him, he didn't know who he was because he didn't know what he was looking for. He'd never read or heard about him. So he just offended him. And then Krishna took his head off. You know. So it's just like, in terms of what, I was just meditating what you were saying the other day, you know, the difference between liberation and becoming devotee. I mean, we can blow it. We can spend our whole life thinking we're doing service with Krishna, fine. But if it's not, we're going to involve dynamically in Shravanam Kirtanam, then even we get the opportunity, we're going to blow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the point is, the question is to ask is, you say, when is Krishna that? What if you walked in this second? What would you do? Krishna just walked in now, what would happen? Uh-huh. You know, so it's like that one lady, it's, you know, she's, you know, it's like praying to the one carrying the wood, you know, the wood fell off her head, she couldn't pick it up, she's praying to Krishna and this and that. Krishna came, yeah, you called, says, can you pick this up and put it on my head? And then he did, and then disappeared, and then it's kind of like, hey, wait a minute. Did I ask for the wrong thing here?
As a getting back to what you're just saying, preoccupation in the duty instead of in Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhupada also gives the example of the, I think, Pujari in Jagannath Puri. At the time of death, he thought, who's going to fill the water for the Lord's bath? he didn't think of the Lord. So he didn't go back to Godhead.
He came back to fill the water
bath. Yeah, something just means that, in other words, Krishna...
That's a tricky one because, you know, it's service.
It's service, but the point is it's service for who? The service should invoke. It's just like this. The mother is performing service for the family, but who is she thinking of? Is she just thinking of only the cooking? It means at times you'll focus, but then it'll move back into thinking of the family. You know, the child and what they like, and oh, this one likes this, or that one likes that, and making all this, right? Because it's personal. So that's why... In the same thing, the name, form, qualities, pastimes is in the beginning, it's just name because we don't, it means when we hear the name, it does not necessarily, we can say Krishna and we'll know, we recognize the name, yeah, that's God. But it doesn't necessarily invoke a particular form or forms. It may not, but I'm just saying inherently the beginning will be you recognize the name as the name of God.
Hmm.
Right? So that's name.
Hmm.
But at the same time, like Shraddha is the basis of all the other nine. So the name is the basis of the others. Not from name, it moves on to form, and there's no name. No, the point is you're focused on hearing the name. As Rupa Goswami is saying, when I hear, I want millions of ears, and then when I, you know, like that, when I chant, millions of tongues. So that means the hearing is going on. But what it does is then, the next stage is that it invokes a form. And then with time, then hearing, then that form that's invoked has qualities. And then with time of hearing, then that form has qualities and has activities. So the hearing always goes on. That's why it has a problem, because then someone will say, no, no, you have to move these others. But they leave out the point is that in moving, the hearing goes along with it. It's synonymous. So it's not like I have to, you know, instead of hearing, I'm chanting and I meditate, you know, I get my picture and I'm just meditating. Because that's artificial. You know, the point is the girl sees the boy, it's only a moment, it was only a smile, 24 hours a day, that's all she can think about. So it's not that, and anyone says the name, she just thinks of that. So it's not like it's an artificial thing. That's the point, is that... When we say form, it means when you hear the name, the form comes along with it. When you hear the name, then the form and qualities come along with it. When you
what
hear
is the
name,
stepping stones between? This is what I'm exploring. Remember, what is the stepping stones between the artificiality and the spontaneous?
It means you're always exposing yourself to hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes, and you're performing activities that we're purified by, so we don't forget Krishna, you know, because it's inherent that we love Krishna, but we're forgetting him. So that's why in the beginning we put a lot of emphasis on don't forget Krishna by the elements of sadhana bhakti that keep us out of activities that are going to distract us, you know, and regulating those activities and connecting, you know, our conditioned conception. But at the same time, you need to cultivate those things that draw us to Krishna.
Because Haridas Thakur, he mentions as part of the sadhana krama, that stage of, you know, coming to nistha, he mentions the importance of meditating on the deity when you're chanting.
Yeah.
So you could say that's artificial. But
no,
actually
but
it's not
I'm just saying, but meditating on the deity, what I'm saying here is meditating on the deity doesn't mean not hearing.
Oh, like, yeah, he makes that point, actually.
That's the point, but you don't hear anybody else say that.
Well, the Acharya said it.
No, but I'm saying he says that, but I'm just saying when you hear devotees start emphasizing, no, no, we have to move on and like this, they'll be quoting the Acharya, but they miss that point. Because the point is then somebody's just trying to think, but they're not even hearing anymore. But his point is you keep the hearing and add the form. You know, but the main thing is the hearing. And because we're reading about Krishna's qualities and that's why nectar devotion is there, is that then you hear about the qualities. And the interesting thing is what's basically the first quality that's delineated?
Oh.
Yeah. Is this 32 symptoms of auspiciousness. So the form is given already. So and then all these other qualities go with that form. And then after that, then an example of all these things all throughout, then is pastimes. So pastimes are always given because that's ultimate attraction. But then after that, then he starts to describe rasa, which is the pastimes, but only after qualities.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about pastimes always being there, looking at the bhajans that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, he, at this stage, when you like moving towards Nista, he seems to give it in terms of primary names that indicate pastimes. He's not talking so much specific pastimes, but there's a beautiful song about Harinam, you know, in English, Harinam, you have so many forms. And then he just goes through so many different names mm-hmm. that are indicative of form and activity, pastimes, mm-hmm. like that. You know, like rather than just meditating on, you know, this pastime or that pastime.
No, because the point is if you meditate, it's okay, but there must be a foundation.
Yeah.
That's the point, is that, you know, the building is great, that's what you want, but if it doesn't have a foundation, how's it going to stand? You know? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's nice, you can draw the artist's conception, but if you want to build it, then you'll notice in the engineering blueprint there are foundations. But they don't show the foundations when they give the architectural concept. Mm. So if you simply make your process that concept, then that's sahaja. It's not going to get anywhere. Mm. Because there's no foundation. Because one is distracted by other things. One doesn't have that desire, that attraction, really. You know, so you'd have to see, well, what, because they're not going to those things, what is actually their motive? You know, what is the motive of hearing about Radha and Krishna and all that? What is the, do they want to assist in those pastimes, or do they want to enjoy those pastimes? That's the that's the point. You know?
That's where Prabhupada brings up Vipralamba. First you assist the mandris that are here, serving the mission, then you can maybe think about doing something else.
Because it's non-different, because the point is it's, why is the mission there? You know, they'll try to sideline and externalize it, but it says that's the external form, but that doesn't mean that the external is not real. Like Krishna has his external form, you know, his threefold bending form of Shyamasundara. That's external, meaning what you can see. It's observable. Mm-hmm. And internal means what you're not. That what he's thinking of in that threefold bending form, that's his internal. So it's not that the external is a problem. Mm-hmm. External is problem here, is that external here we mean that external, it's mundane. And one is not connecting it to the Lord. Because if you connect it to the Lord, then it doesn't act as external. You know, so mm-hmm. that's why Varnashram is external if it's not connected to the Lord. If it's connected to the Lord, it's using the external form, but it gives you the benefit of the internal. So he doesn't reject it. He doesn't say, oh, this is bogus or no. He just says, it's external. So I want to go deeper than that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say, no, that's bogus, next. Oh, that's bogus, next. That's mm-hmm. when he says Radharani, then okay, that's okay, but... You know, that's not quite, you know, and then he says, okay, that's okay. No, it's he's already accepted the Varnashram because he's following it himself, but he it's external in that it's not, unless it's connected to Krishna, or in that case, if Ramananda Roy gave it in connection to Krishna, then that's external in that it only deals with the conditioned nature, it's the gross and subtle bodies. But the point is that's the major aspect, and then the minor will be the consciousness. That you're doing it, the consciousness is right. That you want to engage your conditioned nature through Varnashram in the Lord's service. That thought is Krishna conscious, but that thought may not be there during your whole application of that Varnashram practice. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's why it's external. Mm-hmm. Because we see is that when it says Raghunandha Bhakti, the example is given of the housewife performing her duties perfectly. So that's for an ashram. But it's given the example of Raghunandha, because the thought of the beloved is constant, even mm-hmm. though one's performing the external activities. So varnashram on its own, that definition is external in that predominance will be the performance of the activities, not necessarily the God consciousness. Though its purpose and its motive is God consciousness, but one is not necessarily always conscious of that during the performance of one's duties. But raganuga means one is conscious of it.
And isn't that another reason that Mahaprabhu called it external, meaning it's something you can drop? Like, there will come a time when you drop it.
You can drop it, but generally...
In the sense of, like, you drop the body, like, it's the external, so, like, this is not you, this is something you will drop.
Yeah, because it's dropped with a conditioned nature, like that.
I have some extra classes and things to give, so I'm going to be pretty busy with planning all that sort of stuff and teaching all that stuff. And then I'm going to go to Puri. But I'll be back here teaching by 13th. By that time, all the preparation work will be done, so it'll be just a couple of hours teaching. So if you can think of something useful for me to do, that'd be good. I'd be grateful. Thank you. Well, it was very nice the way it worked out with the Upadeshamrita. I didn't want to get into a tirade against the Babaji's or anything. I just wanted to present it in terms of Bhaktisiddhanta's line. So, you know, when you gave me that, you sort of clarified that five stages of bhav consciousness. So then, in that, with the last verse, I just used Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Gitamala, Sunilalas. And like explaining what the internal reality of someone who is actually living on Advaita Kunyan proper consciousness is. That was very sweet. And then we just wrote a letter to both the authors, Nanda Prabhupada and Goswami, you know, expressing our desires for improvements, our weaknesses and stuff. And I'll deliver it when I get back there.
To Ripa.
That's nice.
Very good. Thank you. Okay.